Good morning, everyone. Morning. Yeah, it's good to have people. Hey, it's nice to see everyone. It's nice to see you guys. Sure, what a special time in worship this morning. The Holy Spirit is so faithful always, eh? So faithful. And it's not because you're so far Boston or anything like that. It's just because he's the Holy Spirit. Just because he's the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm excited to share this word with you that the Lord laid on my heart. While I was preparing this week, I keep on hearing the word, same God, same God. And I was like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? Are you referring to the song that Elevation Worship is singing, the same God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of the Lord, the God of Mary, that they speak about in that song? But what I was learning and as I was digging into and praying and unpacking what God was laying on my heart, I felt he wanted to take me through to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So when the God is referred to in the Bible, he's referred to the God of Isaac, to God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know that Jacob was not the one who had to receive the first inheritance or the blessing. Jacob wasn't the one who was to receive that. But let's go through to the next slide quickly, and I'll just explain. So we know Abraham was first. It was first Abraham, and then God called him, and God called him and said, "I want you to be the father of the nations, not only the father of the Israelites or anything like that." From the beginning, God was quite clear what his intentions was. It was like, I want you to be the father of the nations, not a specific tribe, not a specific nation, but the nations. God was specific when he called Abraham and he said, you will be the father and your descendants will be as much as the stars in the skies and the sand on the seashore. So, and we know that Abraham in that time struggled with that. Eh? God, you've given me this promise, but I don't see it coming to pass. And then God, first of all, we know like the human nature of ourselves is that we would try to fulfill our own promises. First of all, Abraham tried that. His wife said, here is my slave Hagar. You go and have intercourse with her. She can then bore you a son, and that will be your promise. But God said, that wasn't my discussion that I had with you. And then God told Sarah, Abraham's wife, who was Sarai before she became Sarah, and told her that, but you're going to bore a son, and you must call him Isaac. And we know that in that time, Sarah was quite advanced in the years. Advanced meaning, when the Bible speaks about advanced, we know that it's a few hundred years. That's like us, where we think we're advanced, you're like, hey, I'm 35. I've advanced in my years. But God's saying, nothing is impossible by me. I am the God who says I am. I am the one who says this will happen and it will. And then we know that Abraham then got Isaac. And then later on, in 15, when they changed his name, God made a covenant with him. God made a covenant with him saying that you will be the father of the nations and I will give you the land of Canaan that I promised to the Israelites. So when the Israelites were taken out of Egypt, the promise to them was, I will give you the land that I promised to the father Abraham. I will give it to you. Because that is the promise that God's given them. God's promised Israel that they will always be God's people, and that is their identity. That is what God has called them for. So, then after Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was the firstborn, but Jacob had the hunger and the thirst to be the firstborn, to get that blessing, to understand, to get that blessing and to say, hey, I'm the one that's going to call the shots. I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one that's going to do this. And we know that God, in specific instances, changes people's names. He changes Abraham to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, and he changes Jacob's name to Israel. So let's look at where God called Abraham the first time, and he says to him in Genesis 12. So if you can just skip past all of those stuff, I'll come back to that. Now the Lord said to Abraham, go to the country, leave everything that you know, the known, and go to a different country, and I will go with you. And I will bless you, and I will make sure whoever curses you will be cursed. And I will bless those who bless you. And we know that before God made this covenant with Abraham, who's still Abraham that time, and he changes his name in Genesis 15. Before that, he first uses Abraham, and he sends him to the far country. And then Abraham said, okay, I'm going to take my cousin Lot with me. And Lot goes to Sodom and Gomorrah. We know the story. Abraham then says, God, hey, will you destroy this place? If there was one person, two persons, three persons, you know the thing. And eventually they got Lot and his family out. And then after that, what stood out for me when I was preparing this is that before God changes Abraham's name, Melchizedek actually blesses Abraham and speaks the blessing that God has called him upon and says, it's not on the slides, but I'll just read it to us. Blessed be Abraham by the God Most High. The Most High God, eh? The one who made heaven and earth, the possession, like the one who owns everything. And blessed be the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hands. And then God goes on and he says, Abraham, now I'm calling you and I'm going to make this covenant with you and I'm going to call you Abraham. From now onwards, you will be called Abraham. In Genesis 15, after these things and this word was spoken in Abraham, fear not, I'm your shield, your reward shall be great. Oh God, what will you give me because I don't have a kid? And an heir to my house. Behold, you have given me no offspring, a member of my household will be. Behold, the word of the Lord came this year. And he brought him outside and took him to the heavens and then showed him everything and says, do you see what I've made? So that is the descendants that you are looking at. And this is what I want you to do. And then Genesis 26 goes on and says, and the Lord appeared to him in the same night. I'm the God of Abraham, your father. And now he's going on and he's going to Jacob. He's saying to Jacob, hey, God, dude. So, okay, you are Jacob. And we know his name was the deceiver. Jacob the deceiver. He deceived his brother from his birthright. He deceived him from taking. So him and his mom made a plan because the brother was out in the field doing what the big brother was called to do, to go out, attend to the flock, to attend to the sheep and everything like that, and go out and hunting. And Abraham and Isaac called and says, I'm hungry. And the mother heard and said, okay, prepare this meal, da 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 da. We know the story. I don't want to linger too much on that. But just for context sake, I'm just going to mention it quickly. Then they prepared a meal, and then Ishmael was quite a hairy man. He was like, he had quite lots of hair. And Jacob didn't. He was like me. I don't have lots of hair on my arms. But Jacob, then his mom made him that stuff, and then Isaac blessed him and said, okay, are you my son Esau? Because you sound like Jacob. And he said, no, Dad, I am Esau. And we know that is where the trouble starts. Now my brother stole my birthright. Now Jacob fled to a different land. Jacob then later, so if you go back to Jacob's family line, sorry, Cindy, I'm jumping up and down this morning with you. So we know that is Jacob's family line. And in Jacob's family line, you can see that he was first worked for his father-in-law. Then he said, okay, now you can have this daughter, but not the one you want. Okay, then every time he was trying to get ahead by deceiving people and doing his own nicks and tricks, until he gets to this point where he's on his way back to meet his brother, because his brother is now going back and to meet his brother, and he's super scared. He's like, oh, my brother's going to kill me because I stole his birthright. That's quite a big thing. And we know that in Genesis 26, he goes, before he meets his brother, he first spends a night sitting with the Lord and trusting the Lord. Hey, God, I want to be blessed by you. Like, God, I'm going to... We know that Jacob then was the only man who wrestled with God and lived. That's usually the legacy that he goes by. And then at that evening in Genesis 26, so if you turn to Genesis 26, while Jacob was... The Bible says sleeping, and he got a vision. So he was laying, putting his head down on a rock, and he saw angels descending and ascending from heaven on a staircase. And then that is 28, I'm jumping too much because I'm cautious of the time. Please bear with me this morning, guys. We had a lot that was going on. And behold, the Lord stood at him and said, I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land which you lie in, I will give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust on the earth. And the same promise that God gave to Abraham, he's giving it to Jacob. Because Jacob had a hunger. He was like, I'm hungry for this, man. I want this blessing. But we know that in the beginning it was for his own self-gain and his own stuff and his own things that he wanted. And then later on, the north to the east and the family of the offsprings. And so when Jacob had this vision in 28, he spent the time with the Lord, and he saw that the angels were like descending and ascending, and it's like, oh God, this is amazing. And then, but he was like, he wrestled with God. The Bible says he wrestled with the angel of the Lord, and he said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Because he had such a hunger and a thirst to be blessed that it became whatever he wanted, and he was on the way to meet his brother. Now he's like, I'm going to die. So I just want this that I'm experiencing now to be a real thing. And we know that in that moment he meets God, and God changes his name from Jacob to Israel. And from Israel is the 12 tribes of Israel as we know it today. And from the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God that we're serving today. Is the same God that we are serving today. Is the same God that came from the bloodline of Jacob, Israel. We sing that song, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. So that Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah. So when you read in Matthew 1, you'll see that Jesus comes from the lineage of Jacob, Israel, the chosen. Israel also means the chosen one. And that brings me to this morning's story. So now we have Abraham, who was Abraham, Jacob, who became Israel, and the lineage of Jesus coming through that. When Jacob was Jacob, what legacy would he have left for the people on earth? How would we have known Jacob? As the deceiver, the guy who steals, the guy who deceives and who's taken the birthright that doesn't belong to him, the guy who took everything from his brother, what would you say? That person must be stoned. That person must be stoned. That person doesn't have a legacy but God said in that moment, I see the hunger and thirst that you have, and therefore I'll answer that today. Takes us back to a story about someone else. The book of Philippians, Paul, Saul, as we know him, the Hebrew guy who slaughtered and persecuted the Christians. And once he persecuted the Christians were running around so badly that he was so zealous for what he believed in that he was following the will of God. And if God didn't meet Saul at the road of Damascus, what would have happened to his legacy? How would his legacy have been? A third of the New Testament is written by Paul. Whenever you listen and you speak about any reference with regards to anyone, we usually reference Paul. It's all about Paul saying this in this thing, because Paul had an encounter with Jesus. An encounter that changed his life and his life trajectory. So it changed whatever he was going against to, it changed the whole way. The same with our lives. We once were lost, but we were found in Christ. And that's why it's important for us to attend this Freedom Fest and the rest of the stuff, and to go out and to share what we have freely received so they can freely give to the world. Because what we have, the world needs. What we have, the world needs. And why? What do we have? What do we have? Let's listen to Paul. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. So now you must listen to this. Just the background with regards to this. So the book of Philippians is written while Paul is in prison in Rome. And he's writing this to the church of Philippians to say that, thank you for sending me. What's that guy's name? Epaphroditus. What's he say? Epaphroditus. Theo? Hey.
My teacher. Sorry, I'll just get.
Yeah, Epaphroditus. And he became sick. And he's writing this letter because the church of Philippi sent Paul a parcel to say thank you for all the years of fellowshipping, thank you for all the years of mentorshipping, thank you for all the years that you have poured yourself into us and you have shared a bit of yourself with us. And then Paul writes it, he says, I would love to come to you, but I'm going to send Timothy just before this, where the Philippians 3, where he says that, we all quote so nicely and says, rejoice, and again I say rejoice in the Lord. But before this, he says to them, guys, Epaphroditus that you sent is sick. He was nearly dead, but the prayers have kept him alive. So that is the background on this, and Paul's writing this to the church, and he's saying to them, but now he's teaching them as well. So we know that in Philippians 2, where he speaks about saying, to Jesus, the name was given above every other name, which I just quoted when I was praying earlier. He is highly exalted. He's speaking about the unity in the church that is addressing there. So the background in this is that. So now Paul's writing to the church and saying, though I myself, I have a reason in confidence in the flesh as well. So he's saying, I can boast in my degree. I can boast in my family. I can boast, I'm talking modern times, in the car that I drive. I can boast in all of those stuff. If anyone thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Now he's taking it back and now he's saying to them, guys, I did all the Jewish stuff. I am the Jew of the Jews. I am the teacher of teachers, circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to the zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness under the law, blameless, but whatever I gain, I count it as loss for the sake of Christ. Amen. Paul says to them, and another translation says it's beautiful, I count it like dog poo. Basically, when you translate it into a different, from a different translation, I count it like dog poo. Because it doesn't matter to me. The fact that I'm an accountant today doesn't make me a person. It doesn't leave a legacy that I have. The fact that I'm highly qualified doesn't make me anything. I count it all lost for the sake of knowing Christ. Indeed, I count everything lost because of this surpassing word of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not to have a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but to which comes through faith in Christ, righteousness from God that depends on faith. And then verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and I may share in the sufferings and becoming like him in his death, that I may be any means possible attain to the resurrection of Christ. Next weekend we are celebrating the resurrection of Christ, the fact that Jesus is alive, the fact that we are here because of Jesus conquered the grave. The fact that God raised him up on the third day, that is what we are celebrating today. And Paul says that is where we should find our identity. And what does the legacy that Paul has left us today is that Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Don't look at my qualifications, look to Christ. See Christ in me, the hope of glory. What is your story and your testimony that you want the people to perceive you with when you leave this earth to be with Jesus? What is the legacy that we are leaving behind? Hey? That is Jacob's legacy, Israel's legacy, stands today. It's here, it's written. What are we going to write and say about you? What is the legacy that you are leaving behind? Is it going to be about your qualifications? The fact that you had an amazing degree? The fact that you were a famous person and people looked to you around? Or the fact that people's going to say, that person lived a life Christ deserving of? Is the people going to say that this person lived the life devoted to Jesus? Or is people going to say that, I wondered, sometimes I really wondered. What are the people going to say about you? The series that we've been working through, and last week you will remember that Talon shared a bit on becoming like Christ. We're working through that. Being with Jesus, I shared about communion. We are becoming like Christ. What is the one thing that we know Christ by? The fact that Jesus saved all of us. That he is the Savior of the world. And that is the legacy that he goes by. That he is the one highly and exalted, the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And therefore he was given the name above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee under the earth and on the earth shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. No other God can stand upon Jesus. No other thing can come against the name of Jesus. Paul says this in Corinthians 10 verse 5, and he says, therefore we have the power to dominion strongholds because Christ in us. The fact that we have the Holy Spirit gives us the power. The fact that we are able to stand here today through the blood of Jesus Christ who washes us all clean gives us the power to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God. And that's how I want to be remembered. Back when I was in rehab in 2007, I remember us giving an exercise. And I wrote on my thing, I want to be known as a man of God. In rehab, trying to figure out my life, been an addict for 5 years, but I still remember writing that down, wanting to be remembered as a man of God, a man who stood for what God stood for, a man who was willing to empower and to go where God sends him to go, a man that's willing to pioneer where no one wants to go. And that we know as Paul. Paul went wherever God sent him to go. When no one else wanted to go. Even when he was facing death. And he was told not to go to Rome. He said, but I should go. I should go. So how will people remember you today? You can come up, please. Revelation 4 verse 4 says it nicely that around the throne room of Christ there is the 24 elders and they're casting down their crowns. The 24 elders, which we know is the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles of Jesus who walked with him. But it says something different. And seated around the throne was 24 elders, clothed in garments of white, with golden crowns on their heads. But if you go a bit deeper, it says, and the saints of the world were all dressed in white. Are we going to be among the saints that's going to be standing before the throne room of God, clothed in white, perfect, in every way, beautiful in every way. Paul writes in the book of Romans that he says, nothing, no persecution, nothing can be compared to the glory that will be revealed to us. That is what we live for. That is what we are here for. That's why we need to go and share the good news that was given to us. Then when people speak about us, they say, that person lived a Christ life. That person lived a life. Adan, when he walked into the room, something was different. When his colleague speaks about him, are they going to say, that guy who preached the whole time to us? You shouldn't talk the talk and not walk the walk. It will stand this morning. So what was really on my heart for you guys this morning is that God is the same yesterday, today, and till eternity. That God didn't change. Abraham changed to Abraham, the father of the nations. Jacob changed to Israel, became the chosen one of God. And that is his legacy that he goes by. Not the fact that he was a deceiver, but the fact that he became Israel, the chosen one of God. Paul, the persecutor of Christians. When Christians heard about Saul being in a town, they used to flee because he was so zealous of killing Christians. Until he met God on the road of Damascus, Acts 9, and he says, Jesus looked him in his eyes and said, Paul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not why are you persecuting the Christians? Because we become one with God when we say yes to Jesus. And may Jesus shine through us So my heart and my prayer for each one of us is today that we take introspection today and we say, God, what are my colleagues seeing? God, what are my family seeing? Are they seeing me highly qualified and the degrees and I'm going to have all these titles behind my name and pastor this and apostle this and bishop this and that? Paul says, I count it all lost for the sake of knowing Christ. I want to be known by Him. The fact that Jesus is going to look up to us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Are we going to be one of these people that's been clothed in white, standing before the throne room of God and saying, it was worth it. Every single sacrifice I've made, every single corporate ladder I said no to, it was worth it. If you don't know or have a desire for any of this, please come. We would love to pray with you this morning. But if you have the desire to live this, to be this, to give yourself, to give everything you are, I would also love to pray with you this morning. But I'm really, if you're not there yet, and you really want to get there, and something is keeping you back, I'm really wanting to pray with you this morning. Please don't leave. We're going to worship one more song. We're going to give God the glory and the praise, for He is worthy of it all.
I'm giving you my heart, all that is within. I lay it all down for the sake of you, my King.